Luke chapter 2 this morning, beginning reading in verse number 8. Luke chapter 2, beginning reading in verse number 8. Let me correct something I just said during the prayer time about Pam's dad. I think they just suspect it. They're not sure that he has cancer. Let's pray against that he doesn't. Okay? So let me make that correction. All right, let's stand together as we read from God's Word. Familiar story this morning. The Bible says, "And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, 'Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger.' Suddenly a great company of the heavenly hosts appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests.' When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, 'Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about.' So they hurried off, and they found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. And when they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherd said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. Shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told." Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the wonderful time of worship we've had this morning. And now we pray that your Holy Spirit might take your word and help us to understand the truths that are there. To a very familiar story, but one that is life-changing. And I ask you, Father, that if there's anyone here today who has never made a sincere and genuine commitment to the Lord Jesus Christ, that today might be that day. So, Father, bless us. Holy Spirit, be our teacher and our guide now is our prayer in Jesus' name. Amen. Last Sunday, if you were here, we talked about the role that Zechariah and Elizabeth played in the Christmas story, because their role was to bring John the Baptist into the world through divine intervention of God by allowing them to have a child at a very old age. But not just any child. This child would bless the world. This child would cause people to turn back to God. And this child would be the forerunner announcing the coming of Messiah. Now, last Sunday night, we talked about the big picture surrounding Christmas, how God is over us and in us and for us and with us, how he created us, how he came to live with us, how he took our place on the cross, how he is with us, and how he prays for us each and every day. Well, you see, this is what Christmas is really all about. It's about God coming to earth in the form of a baby to grow up and to die for the sins of the world, to be buried, but praise God, to be raised again, to ascend into heaven, to sit down at the right hand of the Father, and await the day to come and receive all of us into himself. That's God's gift to the world. On this Christmas morning, I want us to examine God's message that was given through the angels to the shepherds, and how it is not only a message for shepherds, but it is a universal message for all mankind. You know, as far as I know, and I could be wrong, but as far as I know, it was the only angelic announcement that involved more than one angel. And it involved myriads of angels, and it was the only message given to more than one person. It was a group of angels who came to this earth to share God's message with a group of people who were looked upon as very, very common men. But you know, Christmas is really about God reaching out to every sector of humanity. And he reaches out to it with a message that can and has and will continue to change lives in days to come. How many of you have had your life changed by the message?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And if you haven't, you can. And it can happen today. And that's the good news. So let's look at this great message. Here's the first thing I want you to notice about it. It is a message for real people living in a real world. A message for real people living in a real world. Now, the real world. What is the real world? I mean, does everyone you know or read about live in the real world? I would suggest that many people live or have a desire to live in a fantasy world created by themselves that meets their own needs or gives them the opportunity to escape the things that haunt them the most. The real world that we live in is a fallen world. It is a deceived world. It is a world that is headed for utter destruction and chaos. The real world that we live in is one, unfortunately, that's filled with sickness and with death and with heartache and with disappointment. And not everyone lives in a million-dollar house. Not everybody sits around deciding where the next worldwide adventure will take them, where they will purchase their summer villa, waiting for the new cars to roll off the assembly line. That's not the world I live in. I don't know about you. To me, that would make up a very small minority of people in the world. Because most of us would be considered, like the shepherds, fairly common people. Well, I don't know about you, that's how I grew up. And that's how many of you grew up. You had enough, but you didn't have a lot. But you got by. And so, how much is enough? You ever thought about that? How much is enough? To me, it all depends on which world you live in. Whether you live in the real world or whether you live in this fantasy world that you have gotten yourself involved in. Now, God's messengers, the angels, came into the real world with a life-changing message to share with common people who would in turn share that message with other people that they came in contact with. But you know, outside of Mary and Joseph, these shepherds probably had the greatest impact on the world than anybody when they first heard the message. The shepherds were living in the fields with their sheep. They were tending their sheep. That's what shepherds do. And that was their life and how they made their money. And they were real people with real lives and real families and real sheep, I suppose doing real things, no glitz, no glamour to their lives. It was the same old thing day after day. But here's what God wants you to know. The Christmas message is not for perfect people, it's for real people. It's not for perfect people, it's for real people. The angel's announcement was that the good news would be for all people. And that's exactly what it has turned out to be. And it turned out to be not just a message for the nation of Israel, not just for God's people. For many of them heard it and rejected it because Jesus didn't fit the pattern they had conceived in their minds. He didn't fit their Messiah profile, so he couldn't possibly be Messiah, and so they rejected him. But I want to tell you, it was a message for Jews and Gentiles alike. It was a message that would make the ungodly godly. It was a message that would transform lives. It was a message that healed the sick. It was a message that caused the blind to see and even raised the dead on occasion. Everybody who first heard the message through the voice of the prophets, all the way through those who hear it now, live in a real world. We live in a fallen world. We live in a struggling world. But into this world came good news the day Jesus Christ was born. For a baby had been born that would change the world and save those who would believe. So God's message is for real people living in a real world. And that's all of us here this morning. There's a second thing. And that is, it is a message that is filled with good news. Don't you like to receive good news? I mean, good news is a good thing, you know? Think back to the last bit of good news you received and think about how it made you feel. Think back to the day you found out Alabama was going to be in the national championship game. That was good news. Sorry, that just came out. But seriously, have you or a family member found yourself in a tight spot, either physically or financially, or something was terribly wrong in your family? Have there been times in your life in the midst of those situations when the doctor came out and said, everything's going to be okay? Or unexpected money showed up to bail you out of a financial crisis. Or your family, instead of imploding, was restored. Do you remember how those times made you feel? It was good news. Remember how you felt when things like that and a million others just like them have taken place in your life? Brought good news, which brought hope and lifted a burden off of your shoulders. Well, the world into which the good news was born was a dark world that stood in desperate need of light. Matter of fact, Isaiah prophesied it many, many years before it happened. He said, the people walking in darkness have seen great what? A great light. On those living in the land of deep darkness, a light has dawned. A great light would come into the world, Isaiah prophesied, and he would come into the land of deep darkness. Well, that's exactly what happened when Jesus came. And those who believed God, they understood that prophecy. They had been hearing it for years. And when it happened, they understood. And when Jesus was brought to the temple 8 days after he was born, Mary and Joseph met a man by the name of Simeon. You remember Simeon? He was a righteous and devout man, the Bible says. He was waiting for the coming of Messiah. He had been told by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had physically seen the Messiah. And on that particular day, he went to the temple courts, and when he saw Mary and Joseph and baby Jesus, he knew this was what he had been waiting for all those years. Look at it in verse 28 of Luke 2. Simeon took Jesus in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. Simeon had a promise from God fulfilled in his life. It was the promise of Messiah. And Messiah had come, and God's Spirit ministered to Simeon's spirit and said, this is the one. And he gave God praise for that. But let's go back to the shepherds again. Because the shepherds had two reactions to the message they had received, to this good news that they had received. Their initial reaction was fear. Probably because if a bunch of angels showed up at your house, there might be a little fear in your life too, initially. But they had been to angel school and they knew how to say, do not be afraid. That's what angels always say. That's the first thing they always say. Fear not. Do not be afraid. That's because everybody's afraid when they show up. So they have to calm the fear in order to get to the message that they have to deliver. But there were other reasons for them to be fearful. I don't know if you've ever thought about this or not. But they were fearful Because God is holy. And because he's great, and because he's awesome, and because he will judge sin. And they were fearful because of an encounter with the holy God is a reminder that we are ultimately sinful and we are unable to stand in his presence as we should. And yet they find themselves in the presence of angels sent to them on a mission from God, coming from the very presence of this Holy One. The one that brought fear into their life because they knew how holy he really was and how unholy they were. So let's talk about something for a minute. You have to understand that the gospel is not good news until you first realize the bad news. The bad news is that all of us have sinned. We've all sinned against and we've all offended a holy God who will punish us for eternity if we do not repent and do not come to Christ by faith. But the good news is that that is not God's desire. That is not what God wants to do. That was not God's plan. His desire is to forgive you of your sins by giving you the gift of salvation according to Romans 6:23. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, today is the day we think about gifts. Some of you have already received yours, some will get them later. But it's a gift, and a gift is something that somebody gives you, and you don't have to pay for it. I mean, if they gave you a gift, you had to pay for it, that's a purchase, not a gift. And so the way you receive the gift is you reach out and take it, and then it becomes yours. It could have your name on it, and it could stay under the tree or on the table or wherever it is, and it has your name on it, so it's supposed to be your gift. But if you don't take it, and you don't make it yours, and you don't open it, and you don't receive it the way you should, it could sit there forever. And it would be an unopened gift for you that for whatever reason you chose not to open. Well, I'll tell you something. When Jesus Christ came into this world, he was God's gift. It was God's gift to me and to you. But yet, just the same way, we have to receive that gift. We don't have to say, oh, that gift's nice. I love the wrapping on that gift. The bow is so beautiful. The paper is just right. No, that's not the important thing. The really important thing is what's on the inside. What's under that bow? What's under that wrapping paper? That's what's important. Well, the Bible says the wages of sin is death. In other words, if we continue to live in sin without asking Jesus Christ to save us, we never repent of our sin. It says the wages or the payday of sin is death, separation from God forever. But, like that word, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. And so when you receive God's gift, then it becomes good news. It'll stay bad news if you don't receive it. Because you haven't received how it really is good news. Because you haven't dealt with the bad news first. So there was fear. There was also joy. Joy. The shepherds rejoice when they realize that this was not a visitation from God for judgmental purposes. That brought joy into their heart. It was a visit to announce the birth of Messiah. We sang it this morning. Joy to the world. The Lord is come. Let earth receive her king. Let every heart prepare him room, and heaven and nature sing. Receive the gift. It's good news. It's filled with good news. Thirdly, it is a message that demands a decision. Once the shepherds heard the message about the birth of the Savior, the angels delivered the message, these men had a decision to make. And their decision was to go and to see the Savior. Go and see what they had been told about. Now, every time you and I are confronted with the message of God, this morning or any Sunday or anytime you see it on TV or hear it on the radio or read it in a book, anytime you're confronted with the message of God, you have a decision to make. And that decision is, do we go or do we stay? Do we accept? Do we reject? Do I change? Do I stay the same? What am I going to do with this message? What am I going to do with this gift? Every time we hear a message from God or the tug of God upon our hearts to be saved, it creates a crisis of belief. Crisis of belief. The reason it does is because we know that God is always right. Now, I'm going to shock some of you, but some of you are not always right. But God is. God is always right. And so whatever God says to you, whether you like it or not, because if you don't like it, I can tell you you're wrong. But He's going to always be right. He's not going to change it. And all the responsibility concerning the message, once we hear it, is upon us. But God will not force you to make a decision for Him. But here's what He does. And He does it to everybody. And if you're here this morning and you've never been saved, you never accepted Jesus Christ, He's done it to you before. He may be doing it to you right now. He'll do it tomorrow and the next day until there's no more days to do it. And that is, the Holy Spirit tells us that we're a sinner and tells us that we should repent. And you know something? It's a very, very clear word. It's a clear word. The Holy Spirit tells us what God wants us to do, and we know that that is exactly what we should do. If I ask you this morning, do you believe that this is the Word of God? The vast majority, if not everybody in here, would say, oh yes, I believe it's the Word of God. And there may be some real conservative people in here who say, I believe it all the way from Genesis to maps. I believe it's the Word of God. Well, let me ask you something. If this is the Word of God, and you just said you believe it's the Word of God, then do we have any right whatsoever to neglect certain portions of it? I mean, it either is or it isn't. But let me just clarify it for you this morning. It is. It is. All of it. And so it is a message that demands a decision. The old invitation hymn we used to say, what will you do with Jesus? Neutral you cannot be. Someday your heart will be asking, what will He do with me? It's a good question. Maybe one some of you need to consider this morning. And then the next thing. It is a message that changes lives forever. Look at this quote from Larry Lee. Everyone wants to change. But change demands desire and discipline before it becomes delightful. There is always the agony of choice before the promise of change. Everyone wants to change. Is there perhaps something in your life this morning that needs to change? Something that you're not happy with in your life and it really needs to change, and you know that it does. The Holy Spirit's told you that it does through the Word of God. Maybe somebody's confronted you and said, hey, look, things are not well in your life. You need to know it. And you've been confronted by the Word, and you've been confronted by the Holy Spirit, some circumstance, some individual. Everyone wants to change. But listen, change demands desire. You have to want to change. You know why most people don't change? They don't want to change. They don't want to change. They like things the way they are. There are no demands on them. Because if you sell out to God, God's got stuff for you to do that you don't do on a daily basis. You may have never done it in your life. So It demands desire and it demands discipline before it becomes delightful. There is always the agony of choice before the promise of change. But listen, when the message is received, change is inevitable. The degree and the rapidity of change will be based on our desire to change and the personal discipline needed to change. Once the shepherds heard and accepted and experienced the message firsthand, two things happened. They went out, they told others what they had experienced. And secondly, they praised God for what they had experienced. Now, after this experience, they had a new purpose for life. They had a new song. They had a message to share, all because they heard the message of Christmas and experienced firsthand the Savior of the world. Now, let me ask you something. If you're here today and you're a believer, has your experience with God changed you? Has it changed you? Do you have a desire to change, but you just can't seem to get there? It's difficult. Let me share with you what Zach Conrad wrote. He says, many times we are content with sitting on the sidelines, always hearing about others' lives being changed in huge ways and God being so important in their life. We go to church and we hear people talk about what God has been doing in their life. We go to events and conferences that we hope will microwave our Christian maturity to well done. We read books on how others' lives were changed. And that is good enough for us. But deep down inside, we wish we could have that happen in our own life. So we make promises to try harder. We recommit our lives to Jesus. We might begin having devotions more often. But after a while, the desire dies off and the excitement has turned into duty and we give up. Obedience makes the difference in a life that's sold out for God. It is seeing what God does with our attitude of following what He has in the Bible that brings about change in our hearts and a Christian walk that is on fire for God. Have you received God's gift? Have you received Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has the message of Christmas and the cross changed you? Are you different now than you were before you got saved? What have you done with Jesus? What have you done with this message that God has sent into this world? Because remember, it is a message for real people living in a real world. It is a message filled with good news. It is a message that demands a decision, and it is a message that changes lives forever. Have you received the message? Has it changed your life? Is it changing your life on a daily basis? It should be, and it can, if you'll just allow it to take place. I'm going to ask you to just bow your head and close your eyes for a moment. Every head bowed, every eye closed. In a moment, we're going to give what we call an invitation. Invitation is when we ask people to just step out into an aisle of decision and come and say, this is what I need. This is what I need for God to do in my life, or this is what God has done in my life, or please pray for me about a situation in my life. Or maybe God's saying to you, He wants you to become part of this fellowship. But the invitation time is not a time to embarrass anybody. Because the Bible says that when a lost sinner comes home, when a lost person receives the gift, that there's great rejoicing in heaven And there should be great rejoicing here on earth as well. Remember how we clapped at the first of service for Ella's baptism? That's because we rejoice that God has a new member in the family. And maybe you need to become a member of His family today. What a day, what a great day to get saved on Christmas. You say, well, how do I do it? I know I want to change, and I've tried to live my life better. None of that's going to work, folks, till you give your heart and your life to the Lord Jesus Christ, till you confess your sinfulness and receive His forgiveness. Here's how you do it. Right where you are, you can pray this prayer to yourself. Dear God, I know that I'm a sinner. I've done a lot of things that made you unhappy. Please forgive me of my sins. Please come into my life right now and save me. Thank you for being born. Thank you for dying on a cross. Thank you for making a way for me to be saved. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus. If you prayed that prayer this morning and were very sincere and genuine about it, I believe that God has saved you. But everybody that God saves, He calls him openly and publicly to follow Him. And we shouldn't be ashamed of somebody who laid down their life for us so we could be saved. We ought to, like the shepherds, at first be in fear because of who we are and how sinful we are, but then rejoice because of what God has done in our lives and tell others, He's done it for me, He can do it for you. So I'm going to ask you in a minute when we stand and begin to sing, I'm going to ask you to take that step of faith. I'm going to ask you to step out in that aisle and do something that perhaps you've known for a long time you should have already done. But God has spared you and God has saved your life to this point. And now it's time. The Bible says when the fullness of time had come, Jesus came into the world. Well, now it's your time. The fullness of time has come for you. No more playing games. No more talking about what you're going to do. It's time. It's time. Father, bless those who need to make that decision today. Bless those who need to be saved. God, many may be here today. They're not members of this congregation. They may even live out of town. That doesn't matter. If they want to be saved and they prayed to be saved, we want to know about it just so we can rejoice with them. And I pray that you wouldn't let pride get in the way, that you'd let us come and do what we know that we need to do. Somebody may need to join the church, let them come. Somebody may need to get in the altar and say, forgive me for all the times I've thought about changing, but I hadn't done anything about it because I don't seem to have the discipline to do it. And I really don't want to change. God, break that spirit. Break that hold in their life. And Father, I'm going to give you thanks in advance for what you're about to do. For it is in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen. Let's stand together. Let's begin to sing right now. Amen. Thank you. You can be seated. Well, I want to thank you again for coming and being with us on this day, this special day. Hope you'll enjoy the afternoon, and we'll look forward to seeing you back next Sunday morning at 10:30, okay? So remember that, and just hope you have a great week in the Lord. If you're a guest, remember our welcome center in the back, and we'd love for you to stop by and visit with us just for a moment. But we got some great news this morning. Michael, come stand with me, brother. This is Michael Kindred. Michael comes this morning accepting the Lord Jesus Christ. Michael, you prayed with me a while ago when I prayed and asked Jesus to save you. You believe that Jesus saved you this morning?
Yes, sir, I do.
Amen. Praise God. Well, you want to come by and speak to Michael after the service. He'll be here, and you want to welcome him into the family of God here at Hillwood, and we just look forward to see what God's going to do in and through his life in the days to come. Amen. All right, let's stand together. Who's got our closing prayer? Paul Artis. Paul, come on, brother.
Wow, what a day. Lord, it is such a blessing to be in your house to celebrate Jesus' birth. And Lord, just think, Michael can say, I was saved on Jesus' birthday, the day we celebrate Jesus. And he'll never forget that, Lord, and so thankful that he came and gave his life to you. Lord, if there's anyone here that needs to make that decision, there's no better day than today. What a remembrance that would be. You would never forget it. I never forget my spiritual birthday, but Lord, if it was on Jesus' birthday, we would just shout hallelujah. Now, Lord, as we go forth, I ask you to continue to be with each of us and help us reflect the light of Jesus in our daily walk. Help us to serve you. And Lord, we're so thankful that you loved us before we loved you. Lord, go with us. Help us celebrate the birth of Jesus and help us reflect the light of Jesus as we go forth and share with others the good news. Forgive us, dear Lord, when we fail you, for it's in Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.